Lance, what about Lovey resonated so much with you as a player in between that relationship?
Memories. You know, we continued the tradition of great defense, you know, throughout Lovey's years, and we played. I mean, I'm now looking back, I mean, defense and special teams, it was a special time.
What should he be remembered here?
Lovey should be remembered as one of the great coaches of Chicago. You know, you have George Hollis, you have Mike Ditka, and then Lovey Smith comes next.
How soon did you know that the identity was forming after you got here? I mean, how far into his regime did you get a sense that this was the way you were doing things, this was going to work?
I think going when he was hired, I started doing a little research, and one guy that stuck out was Derek Brooks, you know, and I remember when he got hired, a lot of people were saying, you know, Brian should play Will, and Lance should play Mike, you know, and I remember him saying no. He was like, Brian, you're my Mike, you know, like, and Lance, you're gonna be my Will, you know, and it worked out pretty well, you know. We bought in. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. All I remember doing is that first year was just running. All we did was run. We didn't know exactly where we were running to, but we had to run.
On that note, Lance, some of the guys down in Tampa said, you know, Lovey teaches cover two in a different way. And what's the sentiment behind that? What are they actually getting at when they say that? Because it's a coverage they've played forever, but they said Lovey just teaches it a different way.
Yeah. There's a lot of different – I mean, there's some different rules that make sense, but it really comes down to the men. It's the men that make the difference. So we would practice, you know, the way we would practice as far as everybody getting to the ball, you know, attacking right now. The sentiment is our opponent can't prepare for the way that we play. You know, they can prepare for cover two, you know, or cover one, but they can't prepare for the way that we're going to play. And that's going to be a fast-paced, hitting, very physical team. And so I mean, that's a lot of ways. Well, you know, we have a guy, we might play cover two, and the quarterback will dump the ball down. And when he dumps the ball down, everybody's converging on this ball player, and you have a guy like Peanut knock the ball out, you know, or Brian knock the ball out, you know, now we're picking the ball up and we're going the other way, you know. So it's more than just playing a coverage, you know, it's the men that are in there.
Lance, I think everybody has a public perception of what Lovey was like here. You saw him for 9 years, obviously, behind closed doors. How would you describe what he was like as a person and a coach?
It was fun to be around Lovey, you know, especially as you get to understand his personality. You know, I was back in 04, you know, he challenged me all the time. You know, it was always, Lance, you're not going to make that play, or he'll never make that play. And he's always talked to, you know, like Brian, or he'll talk to some of the other guys, like, Lance can't make that play. You know, Derek Brooks can make that play. The real 55 can make that play. You know, and, you know, as I started making more and more of the plays, and the years kind of went on, you know, his tune really changed, you know, and it was always, I know where Lance will be. You know, I know where Lance is going to be. I know where Lance is going to make that play. You know, that's not a worry for me. And that was, you know, to me, that was earned. You know, that amount of respect from him to me was earned, you know, and that goes for all the guys that were in that room.
How do you think he knew how to push your buttons, Lance? Hold you guys accountable. I mean, even in the media, we know about the principal's office, which some of us have been there.
Yeah.
What was that like? How would he hold you guys accountable?
Well, the thing about it is being accountable, it was preached to us, and it allowed us to really kind of police ourselves. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, if we're whether we're an 8-man front or 7-man front, no matter what, if somebody screws up, you know, it's that was me. you know what, you guys, that was me. I mean, we can look in the huddle, you know, right there in the huddle. We don't have to go far because somebody is already explaining it. It was their screw up, you know. And obviously, you have the other guys like, all right, come on, don't do that anymore. We, you know, we need that, you know, or pick it up, or, you know, let's not do that anymore. You know, it was one of those where we all kind of knew somebody screwed up, and we had an idea who it was. But before we even had to ask, that person said, hey, that was me. You know, so, you know, obviously you hear it from your teammates, then you run to the sideline, you hear it from your coach, then you're going to hear it from the DC, and you just move forward. And then you're going to hear it from the head coach, and you just move forward.
So was the principal's office held for more other issues, not necessarily football issues, if you guys were being held accountable in the office?
Oh, the principal's office. I mean, if Lovey called you to his office, I mean, it didn't always necessarily have to be a bad thing. Now, you know, most times it was, you know, when I walked in there, most times there was a play that was already on pause, you know, so they'd sit down and he'd rewind it back and he'd say, hey, big guy, what do you think you could have done on this play? You know, I'm looking, you know, I'm like, can you rewind that one again? Rewind it again. I can't see it right there, you know, all right. And you know, sometimes it wasn't even me that was on the play. You know, I'd say, well, coach, I think I fit correctly. You know, and he'll say, yeah, you're right. He said, you're right. You know, DN's got to handle his gap, and then you come over, you know, and then we'll sit and we'll talk a little bit. But other times it was, you know, it might have been me, you know, and I'm just like, coach, I tripped and fell or something, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, you can't have that big guy. It was I mean, the principal's office wasn't always bad. You know, it was always understood.
Liz, why do you think he was so good at knowing how to motivate you, like with the Derrick Brooks talk or any of these other ways?
I don't know. I mean, I was just, you know, some guys are driven differently. You know, some guys, you know, if a coach says you can't do something or this or that, you know, they might get upset and go in a tank. You know, I always wanted to each day prove him wrong or change his verbiage, you know. And it was always funny because whenever he would say something like that, you know, Brian would always be like, yeah, no, Boogie can do it. No, Boogie can do it. Don't believe you. Boogie can do it, you know. So, and whenever I made a play that he said I couldn't, you know, ever in practice, Brian would use that as his fuel to, you know, to really lay in the coach, to really lay in the Lovey. You know, see, I told you, you know, it was fun. It was fun to go back and forth and kind of over the years, you know, we always, you know, when we all got together, we all knew what we were going to do with each other or be, how we were going to be around each other.
So this week, how fine a line is it to, obviously you talked about love with a lot of affection in your voice, how fine a line is it to pay respect to the past without sounding, you know, disrespectful to the present?
Well, you can respect both by going out and having a good game and making plays. You know, that's how you really respect both the past and the present. I don't see anything as a disrespect to the past or the present. You know, I mean, I'm a Chicago Bear. You know, I'm proud to be here, and I'm proud of what I learned. You know, from Lovey. You know, and that time. You know, and Lovey wasn't the only guy that was here. You know, I spent more time with Bob Babbage than I did with any of the other coaches. You know, so, you know, as far as on hand learning, I mean, Bob Babbage was a guy that kept me, you know, like this, you know. So it's more to it than just that.
So knowing his emotions, what do you think will be going through his mind Sunday around
there? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I'm. He's going to tell his team that we have to get this win. You know, obviously we have to get this win. I don't think he's going to throw any Jiminy Christmases out there about it, but he's going to, you know, I think deep down any team that has played or played for the Bears, any guy that's played for the Bears or coached the Bears, you know, when you're coming back and playing, it's, of course you want to get the win.
When you guys look back at Lovey's tenure, maybe the pinnacle was getting to the Super Bowl, to not win that, does that still gnaw at you at all?
It's a reality check, you know, the Super Bowl is really hard to get to. It's very difficult to get to.
Lance, the defensive improvement against the Vikings, how much of that was just not facing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady? How much of it was real code that you can apply that will be effective, you know, down the road?
Well, So you have to tell me that question again.
The defensive improvement that you showed against the Vikings, how much of that was just a lesser degree of difficulty, and how much of it was that some actual growth that is...
Well, I think there's a balance. I think it's a little bit of both. You know, we obviously we're facing a rookie quarterback, you know what I mean? But this is a professional team. You know, it's a professional team. And for us, you know, it was important for us to just really read our keys and be assignment right. You know, and once you start your first, you know, three and out or less, you know, that's where the steps toward you know getting everything corrected or the process of going getting back to on the right path begin. So for us, getting that win and playing good defense against the Vikings is good because we have to start there. And this week against the Bucks, continue that on.
Trustman called McCown a great teammate the other day. Didn't get into a whole lot of detail. I know you played defense, but just a couple of years that he was here. What'd you think of McCown and just how he handled things?
Josh was a tireless worker. You know, he was always in the books. He was always studying. You know, he'd tell me about, we'd walk in the hallway and he'd talk about game plan, you know, and if he gets this look, here's where he's going to go. If he gets this look, he's like, man, I got so many weapons, just so many weapons here. I want to see him find some success over there. And I know he's had a little tough go, but he was always a great, great teammate to be around and well-loved guy here.
Real quick, could you explain what was behind having the players-only film session?
What's that?
The players-only film
session. Did we have that?
Yeah.
Somebody said something like that? I'm going to have a talk with somebody. You guys weren't supposed to know about that. A veteran?
Yeah.
Lord. Oh, well, what I can tell you about the players-only meeting is that the information that went into players only meeting is for the players only.